Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are in the book of Acts, and we're still in chapter 10, talking about Cornelius. And this is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
Welcoming you to come take this walk with us. We're taking a walk through the scriptures, and we're walking in Jesus' footsteps and the footsteps of his disciples now, who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is a narrative of people that have changed. This is a huge change. You've never seen people act like this for over about 4,000 years. This is the first time that this part of man has been restored. The Holy Spirit is now in man, like man was created in the beginning with the Holy Spirit in him, and then he fell after about 100 plus years. And now about, not quite, but almost 4,000 years later, this part of man has been restored, been healed. The Spirit has filled their hearts, and we're walking along with these people, and we're seeing them act just like Jesus. We're in Acts chapter 10. And Andy, what were you just talking about?
We were talking about Cornelius, a centurion, which is a soldier that has 100 soldiers under him in his authority, and that this is the one that has been selected by God. And a centurion worked for the Roman Empire, and which was Israel was under, really, they had come in there and they were pretty much running the place, the government, the whole thing. And God has selected him and sent, and he is a Gentile and not a Jew, and he has selected someone so far away from being an Israelite that you wouldn't mistake it. He's a Roman, and he's a soldier, so that makes him all of that. But God has selected him to tell him a message and to go get Peter, and that we're in the middle of that story right now.
He's the first Gentile
that the message of the gospel is going to be brought to. And so he was hand-selected by God.
From another nation also that was over Israel. They were under this canopy of authority, but the kingdom of the heavens is still here. Jesus brought this back, yet there's also now there's another authority that is directly over their nation. And have you ever thought about it this way too? Going back to Nebuchadnezzar and his dream that Daniel interpreted about the four kingdoms, the first kingdom being Babylon, and then there would be one after them, and that would be the gold head, and then the thorax of silver, and that would be the Medes and the Persian Empire. Darius and so on were emperors or kings or whatever in that kingdom. They were a bit inferior because they were silver versus the gold head. And then the third kingdom was the waist area or whatever, and the loins, waist. And that was the Grecian Empire, and I think they were bronze. Is that what it said, if I remember right? And then two legs of iron, which is the Roman, we think is the Roman Empire. And if you looked at northern part of Africa, the domain of Rome at that time, and the waste and so on being into Israel, and then the other leg would be Italy and so on, and part of Europe, even up into England a little bit, the two legs. And we are part of the feet of that empire. Think of that today, and that being in place, we still have governance over us. Maybe America is not here anymore. Have you ever thought of that? Maybe this other kingdom, and it says when Christ returns, this other kingdom will be, which has always been here. It's all part of those two legs. It's never really gone away. It's been weakened, but they've always been here, and now it's showing up as 10 toes. And I know the Catholic Church, the Pope in Rome, has designed a new world order that is going to be 10 kingdoms. And I think he has put Canada and America, and some maps show Mexico, mixed the three of us as one kingdom, then South America, and all the rest of the world is divided up into all these kingdoms. And isn't it interesting that they tried to build a wall to separate us from Mexico, and that doesn't work? And we pretty much have free access back and forth from Canada, and it might be happening today. What do you guys think about that happening?
Is this the one that's mixed, the iron mixed with clay?
Yes.
Okay.
Or pottery.
A pottery.
And it's partly brittle.
Brittle, yeah.
And partly iron.
Mm-hmm. Strong.
I can see that. Mm-hmm. I can see maybe it's maybe further along than we want to even think it is. And people are really fighting against it, but maybe it's something that you can't fight against.
Well, it is a further along.
You think so?
Well, no, it is something that is going to happen, and we are further along than it was right then. We're 2,000 years ahead of that story. And way more, back to Daniel.
But maybe it's already here, and we just don't want to think it is. Maybe we want to think we're still America strong and so on. And another thing, the earth belongs to God. It says the heaven and the heaven of heavens are the Lord's, and the earth he's given to the sons of men. And before I became a believer, I used to think how I would survive this. I always felt like this time was going to happen, and this time is here. And it's more than what I saw in the 1960s that I started learning how to live off the land and, you know, just different crazy things you think about when you're a 20-year-old preparing for this. And then after a while, I became a believer. And I didn't think about it anymore. And I realized God has given this earth to his kids. His kids are going to have title over this earth. He says he's given the heaven and the heaven of heavens are the Lord's, and the earth he's given to the sons of men. And when you occupy a piece of property, you want to make sure it's yours and you maintain it, and you want to have continuance of title. You occupy it, and you don't let other people encroach and walk across your property, or they will own it. That's just part of the laws of, you know, land ownership. And you buy the land, you take title of it, and you defend it against all others. That's why you put up a fence. And you say, this is my property. And you don't have to sit on the front porch with a gun, but that's your property. You mow it, you take care of it, you tend the flowers and all those things. And before I became one of God's kids, I used to think how I would survive, and, you know, you're going to run off to maybe some place where you could hide out and live. And could you imagine having done that? That was about 55 years ago I had that thought. That would have been the most lonely life I'd ever had. In the meantime, I'd get married and have kids, and you think of those crazy thoughts that you've had. And now I have a whole different thought, that I have this comfort because of the scriptures that the wicked are going to be taken off the earth, not the righteous. So my only job is not to prepare to go find a place in the woods. I used to learn what kind of plants I could eat. And I was actually pretty good at living off the land. And I used to practice it. The rest of the survey crew, they'd be eating our normal lunches, and I'd be eating berries. I'd be crawling around and getting mushrooms to cook that night and fill my lunch pail full of these button mushrooms and on and on and on. That was just kind of a, they called me the bear because I knew how to forage. And the rest of them, they'd have their lunch, you know, their white bread and bologna, and I had berry stains on my lips and stuff. When I'd come back, and they got a big kick out of it. But anyway, I just totally changed and realized from the comfort of the scriptures, this is ours. And so I believe God is going to protect his kids. We're going to make it through these things. If we walk with him, if now we're walking, and this is the comfort that I get from the Bible, that if I walk with him, he's going to protect me, and I'm talking walk with him day in, day out. He's going to say, Gilbert, don't take that path right now. That's dangerous. You walk here. And you know how Jesus walked through the crowds and so on? That he will help us if we have the Holy Spirit in us. And he's given us, every one of us who have repented and died and be, you know, to the way we were before to become a son of God. And now we're born up, we're one of his, that he's given us an angel at the moment we are born up, we become anew. And so you see with Cornelius, you see the Lord, angel of the Lord being Jesus, but also an angel. You can see both of those with him, and that angel is with us until we go home, and he is there to take us home. So why was I concerned about this? When this happened, I realized, and like how all these people, if I have to pass on at that time and it's the Lord's will, I will. But I decided to walk with the Lord, and there is going to be continuous occupation of God's people on this earth. And the rapture teaching is a bunch of bunk. It's get a strong concordance, and you show me where rapture is in there. It is not in there, is it, Steve?
No, it's not.
Resurrection's in there 100 and some times. Rapture isn't even in there. I don't know why they're teaching that. It's a lie.
It's a Johnny-come-lately teaching, isn't it, around 1828, 30, something like that?
Maybe even later than that. It's before nobody...
Somebody had a dream, and they were...
Somebody was drunk in religious drunk. You know how you see people in these Pentecostal churches, they act kind of crazy? Well, they are. Unless they're led by the Spirit of God and they're doing things that are unusual to man. But a lot of that I've seen, it's not, none of it's scriptural. If you really watch them, it's a bunch of spirit, but I'm going to say small s spirit. And some of them can be demons. And it's not truth. It has to be spirit and truth. And the ones that I see, the ones they make a, besides, they never telecast that in the Bible, did they, to show other people? That's wrong. It was done in private, just within this group of people. And it wasn't done to make a film of, to show other people. And that's obviously.
It wasn't to make followers. That was not the message to make followers.
That never led people in the scriptures. You don't see that, people acting like that. They operated in spirit and
the story we're reading right now, the Holy Spirit's involved, Jesus is involved, and I've yet to see any of that.
And angels, Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God's angels.
That's what we're seeing.
Are involved.
And his people.
Yeah. And the earth is ours, and you don't get a gun to protect it. You keep walking on it and spreading the good news. That's the power of that. And some people will die for doing that. Didn't it happen to those in the scriptures? And it's an honor.
Yeah, that was Stephen.
So I quit being afraid and I quit storing up. Oh, one time Carolee and I stored a barrel full of food. and opened up the lid and it had worms or something in it. So that was the final end to all that stuff.
And Brett, what did you say? You had something to say about a centurion.
Oh, I just thought it was interesting because we're reading about Cornelius, who's a centurion, and there's a lot that God wanted to say about him, that he was righteous, that he was different. He was definitely different.
He was devout. He feared God and all his house.
Verse 22.
Yes.
Well reported by all the nation of the Jews. Now, he was a soldier that was over them, but everybody seemed to, they reported well about him. He didn't overdo his being a soldier in an army.
Right, and he's being warned by a holy angel about things. I mean, God is definitely, you know, talking to this man, Cornelius, and he's interested in him. And it reminded me of over in Luke, there was a centurion that was talked about as well around Jesus. And the centurion had basically, he sent a bondman.
Did you just read it?
I'll read it, yeah. Luke 7:1, I'll start in 1. It says, after he had ended all his sayings in the ears of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's bondman, who was dear to him, was ill and at the point of death. And when he heard concerning Jesus, he sent unto him elders of the Jews, asking him that he come and save his bondman. And when they had came unto Jesus, besought him earnestly, saying that he is worthy that thou shouldest do this for him, for he loveth our nation, and himself built us a synagogue. And Jesus went with them. And when he was not far off from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not fit that thou shouldest come under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say with a word, and my boy should be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having under myself soldiers. And I say to this one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my bondman, do this, and he doeth. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned and said to the crowd following him, I say unto you, I have found so great faith, not even in Israel. And they that were sent on returning to the house found the bondman whole. And that's another account of a centurion. And his statement on that is, I'm not worthy to come to you, and I'm not worthy for you to come to me. Just say he came to Jesus because he knew that Jesus could heal it. He had that faith that Jesus could heal his bondman.
So we have that centurion about Jesus, and now we have the centurion that God is selecting, and they are very similar characters. One was from Caesarea, and the other one was
Capernaum.
Capernaum. So two different places, so it wasn't the same person.
But it almost sounds like the same person,
it
doesn't
it? It does. Same, it's the
definitely same characteristics.
Yes, the same characteristics.
Yeah. A care for people under him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting too?
Yeah. It's interesting. Well, that story popped up. I didn't think about that one. But
the care for the people, not just his job, not just being a loyal, but
the people that he was over, he built them a synagogue, yeah, and they all esteemed him.
Yeah. We are now in verse 23b on the morrow, and we're going to go down to
a long way,
43.
Okay, I'll read this to you.
43. Again, we are in Acts chapter 10.
And on the morrow he rose and went forth with them, and certain of the brethren from Joppa went with him. And on the morrow he entered into Caesarea. And Cornelius was awaiting them, having called together his kinsmen and near friends. And when it came to pass that Peter entered, Cornelius met them and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, Stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with them, he went in and finds many come together. And he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jew to join himself or come into one of another nation. And yet to me hath God shown to call no man common or unclean. Wherefore also I came without gainsaying when sent for. I ask therefore for what reason you sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago until this hour, I was keeping the ninth hour of prayer in my house. And lo, a man stood before me in bright apparel and says, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard and thine alms are remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and call for Simon, who is surnamed Peter. He lodges in a house of Simon the tanner by the sea. Forthwith, therefore, I sent unto thee, and thou hast done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things commanded thee of the Lord. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I apprehend that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation who fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him. He sent the word unto the sons of Israel, preaching good tidings of peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. That saying you know, which was published throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached. Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are his witnesses of all things which he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom also they slew, hanging him on a tree. Him God raised the third day, and gave him to be made manifest, not to all the people, but to the witnesses chosen before of God, to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he charged us to preach to the people and to testify that this is he ordained of God as judge, living and dead. To him all of the prophets witness that through his name everyone that believeth unto him receiveth remission of sins. When Peter entered Cornelius' house, the centurion Cornelius fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Now that's a piece.
But also he called together his kinsmen and near friends. He had a full house. And this happens a lot when we go into new areas, that we'll meet a person that we call a Lydia, like Paul met later on. We'll find this Lydia person in the book of Acts, that they will gather, and a lot of times it's their grandkids. They bring their grandkids with them, and they come with their grandkids, and all of a sudden their kids want to know, where's grandma taking you? And they come too. And sometimes the great-grandparent will join, so you'll have maybe four or five generations together, and then they'll start bringing their friends too. And sometimes this still happens today. We have this in different towns where we go, that as soon as they hear it, it just spreads.
So this Cornelius, it says he met him like it, if you read it, you can see that Cornelius went out of the inner house, and he met him and fell down before him. That's interesting. He told him to get up, and as he talked with him, he went in. Now he's going in, and he found all these people in his house.
Yeah.
He invited all these people to come because he knew somebody was going to come to him.
His kinsmen and near friends, the close friends.
Yeah.
It's full of close friends and relatives. People dear.
Yes.
Which included both. And that sounds like God's kingdom, doesn't it? People are brought into
his
the family.
His friends and his family.
The close friends are actually become family.
Now, I hadn't really thought about that, where once Cornelius sends those three men out, he doesn't hear back from them until they come back to his house. And so that shows you again how much faith he had that he got all these people together. So by the time they get there.
And he didn't know when they were coming back. So that leads to the, well, how long had they been? And it was again at the ninth hour.
It's before cars and planes.
Yeah.
And telephones.
And telephones. Thank God. Can you imagine that that's going to be done away with? Praise the Lord. These three events that happen, the Macarius events, one has transpired. The Pentecost has already passed. Now there's two more events. Each one is the Holy Spirit is renewed within men. The next one will be a part of God itself. Just like the Holy Spirit is the next part of God, will be joined. And then in the final, it'll be all in all at the very end. And you can imagine what kind of a Makarios event that's going to be. Every one of them makes a change that is never, people have not seen for 4,000 years. And then the next one will take place, and men will have not seen it since we're 6,000 years since Adam and Eve were in paradise and walk with God. It's now been 6,000 years, and an even greater event is just about to happen that we're waiting for. We'll get into that in the book of Revelation. And then there will be another one later where everything will be completely healed, and each one is a huge change, like that huge happiness. It'll be something even bigger than the Pentecost, and then the final one will even be much greater than that. And now this has been brought, this event, the Pentecost. This is what we're seeing. Pentecost is now happening to these folks, this Makarios event. So they're expecting something great was told that they were going to happen. They were going to be grafted in. Adoption.
It had been 4 days since he heard this. And his first, when he heard that he arrived at his house, he ran out and threw himself on the ground.
Yeah.
He'd been waiting for 4 days. He didn't know how long it was going to be, but here he was.
For this great event.
Yes, for this great event. And he was told to get up off the ground. I'm a man like you. I'm bringing the message. I'm not God.
You know how people worship ministers today? They ask, where'd you learn this? From this. And they don't lift up the name of Jesus. They lift up a man. And our time has come to an end again. We'll see you again. And until that time, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com, or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.